Of the Lord with you.
Amen.
God's good to us, and we just want to enter into his presence now and believe that he's here. We know he is because he said he would be, and so we're just looking forward to worshiping him and entering into his word now. Just remember everyone that's out sick. Let's also want to remember Sister Pansy. She was going to be here with us today, but was not feeling well, and so just remember her. We're going to touch our body and keep her well. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, verse 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13, and when when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say, thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then I'd like to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Ephesians 5, 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." I'm going to pray just for a moment, let's bow our heads. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we just want to tell you that we love you, Lord, and we want to surrender ourselves to you. Ask God that you speak to our hearts today. Lord, we know that your word is anointed with your presence, so we ask God that we just move into your word this morning, and God, that you'd have your way, you'd speak to our hearts, you'd speak to every person and on their level. God, that you would speak to them and draw them, woo them higher. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. Don't worry about me if I cough. Don't let it bother you, okay? It's lying vanities. That's all it is. I'm going to title this today, "The Mirror of God's Word." I mean, those that Brother Brown talked about, the Bible being the Word of God, being the mirror. Amen. So, you know, I've mentioned a few times here recently that Jesus answered most questions. When people would ask him questions, he would answer them with questions or with parables. I was talking to someone the other day, and I mentioned this to them, that because this person needed to hear it, and I suppose, and the Holy Spirit kind of quickened it to me, so I was talking when I was talking to them. But Jesus, you know, they would say, "Well, art thou the Christ?" You know, and he said, "Well, did are you the one saying this, or did somebody else tell you that?" Or the baptism of John, was it of God? They asked him what authority did he have, and he said, "Well, I'll answer that question with a question." So he would do that. He would do that a lot. And there's a reason why he did that. And the reason why he did that is because what we believe has to be given to us by revelation. So we read there in Matthew chapter 16. We're very familiar with this, but it's part of the word, and it's true that when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, it was important to him for this to be in scriptures there and for him to do this, because he wants us to glean from this to understand. So he said, "Well, who do men say that I am?" And they were saying, "Well, you know, some people say this, some people say that." But you see, it doesn't matter to us what somebody else says about Jesus Christ, what somebody else says that he is. And that's not what we need. What we need to know is in ourselves, who is he?
Right.
And so he said, he did ask him, "Who do men say?" But then he said, "But now who do you say? What do you say about it?" Mm-hmm. And because that's what matters, is what we believe in our own hearts. And so that's where Peter said, "Well, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "You're blessed, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you." He didn't. Hear a sermon somewhere that came from flesh and blood, so to speak. It wasn't told him by somebody. Flesh and blood did not reveal to him that Jesus standing there, that he was the Christ. Jesus said that that revelation, that came to Peter from Almighty God. And so you begin to understand that no matter what happens, no matter what you come in contact with in the flesh, you use your flesh senses to read and to hear and to communicate and all that. It makes no difference about how much of that you have. What you have to have needs to come from revelation from Almighty God. It has to be, because as long as it comes through those revenues, Satan can mess with it.
Yeah.
As long as it comes through flesh and blood, if somebody can come here through flesh and blood and convince you that this word is right, somebody else can come through flesh and blood and convince you that it's wrong later.
Yeah.
So it has to go beyond something. It has to move off into the realm where Satan can't get to it, where God can do something in your life that Satan can't mess with.
Right.
And so he said, you're blessed because my Father has revealed this to you. And he says, upon this rock. Now, as Brother Bram said, so many times people think, well, the church is built on Peter because Peter was rock, right? He mean stone. But I agree with Brother Branham. How could God build his church upon Peter when Peter denied the Lord, and even after he had the Holy Ghost, wasn't walking upright according to truth,
right?
And so Brother Branham, thank God for a prophet that brings this out in clarity just to let us know that what was happening there is that he was saying that on this concept that the word being revealed to you from God, that's the thing that Satan can't come against. And we know Jesus said the word of God is revelation is a stone, but the word of God is a rock, a foundation to build upon. If you build upon your life with other things, it's like sand, and when the storms of life come, it just sweeps it away. But then if you build upon the word of God, it's a rock. And so upon what rock? On the rock of revelation, on the revelation of the word of God, that foundation being laid in your heart by Almighty God, Satan can't move that.
Right.
And so we're very familiar with that throughout the message. And so he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against that. Satan wants, if you're talking about a gate, that he wants to lock you up inside and close the gate and keep you hemmed in. But as long as that gate is open, he can't keep you there. And so that's what we've talked about in the past, how that in a city, the weakest part of the city was the gate.
Right.
So they had to spend a lot of engineering efforts and all kinds of things to protect that gate, because that's the place you come and go.
Right.
And so Satan knows where you come and go all day long, every day, what you got to do in life. And so he's got traps laying there so that he can exploit that gate. And Satan wants to take and put you inside and lock you up, but as long as the gate cannot hold you, then Satan can't hold you. So that's why Jesus said it this way, the gates of hell cannot or shall not prevail against you. And so, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ that he said, you're blessed because of that. Now, I want you to shift from thinking where Peter's standing there and he sees Jesus Christ in the flesh. It says, thou art the Christ. And look at it from this standpoint. Jesus standing there was the Word made flesh. And Peter caught a revelation from God what that was that was happening in his midst. That was the Word made flesh, which shall happen to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the Christ. But I say that because Jesus Christ is still alive today. He's somewhere in this universe right now, and he's doing something right now. And so, as it was with Peter, for us to be blessed today, we have to have a revelation of who Christ is, and that would not be a revelation of who he was 2,000 years ago so much, to know that he was a man walking in flesh and doing the things he did. But what our birth is a revelation of what Christ is today. What is he doing today? Where is he at? Is he in this universe and in his plan? What is he doing? And how does that relate to me?
Yeah.
And so that's what the revelation has to be. Because when the scripture said he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he is. I remember Lonnie Jenkins talking about that. He had a discussion with his dad about that. He said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his dad challenged him on that, because we don't see Jesus standing here today, like like he was then. So there's something different. And so he's like, well, yeah, that's true. What's different, you know? But the thing that he's the same yesterday, today, forever, he's always the living word. He's always the living, the I am right now. And that's the thing that doesn't change. He might change forms so that one day the disciples knew who he was when they looked at him, and the next time they saw him, didn't know it was him. But he's still the same because he was the manifested word for the hour in all cases. And so he's a manifested word of God today, and that's half what the revelation we have to have is of that, not something some previous day.
Yeah.
Has to be what God is doing now in this day. That's the thing we're birthed to. That's the thing that if we have the revelation of that in our hearts, Satan can't move that. I don't care what you go through, he can't move that once that's revealed to you in your heart. So it's a revelation of God. It's a revelation of God, and you know, God is love. He's life, he's love, he's mercy, he's grace, he's all these things, he's power. And so, when you look into the Word, you're going to see something. You have to see something, and so when you look into the Word, what do you see? And what I will tell you is that what you'll see is exactly the attributes that he wants to express to you for your day. He will express exactly what you need for your day. When you look at him and you see him, if you didn't need a Savior and you looked at him and you saw him as a Savior, it wouldn't mean much to you.
Yeah.
Right? But when you look at him, what you find is you find out that he is everything you need.
Right.
Whether it's a Savior or a healer or somebody to straighten out all the confusion we have down here at the end time or all the denominational nonsense. Whatever you find yourself in, when you look into the Word, you'll find him to be exactly what you need right now. Because he is the I am. Not the I was or the I will be, but the I am. And so when you look into the Word, but when you look, what you see has to be revealed to you, not by flesh and blood, but it comes from Almighty God. And so when God drops into your heart a revelation of what you see that Christ is, and you see that he's your atonement, you see that he's the answer to your need, that once that lodges there, brother, sister, nothing can take that away. See? Gates of hell cannot prevail against that. And so what you see, it has to come by revelation. And that's what's wrong with the church world. They go, shake somebody's preacher's hand, put their name on the book, and call that a born-again experience. How's that a birth? Right? As I was witnessing to this person, I said, you can't, once something's born, it's born. You can't undo that. And you could say, well, you just kill it. But you can't kill eternal life. And once you've been born of eternal life, nothing can kill that. Right? That's why everything in Christ Jesus is yea and amen, the scripture says. It's all positive in him. And so what we see has to come by revelation. And so when you look into him, when you look into Christ and you get the revelation, what happens when you see him, it automatically when you see him, it translates into something in you that makes a difference in your life. It translates into you the power of redemption, because once you see him as your Savior, as a Savior, you realize he's your Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Once it's revealed to you that he is a healer, then he's your healer.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So once you see him, you see yourself.
Right.
Once you see him, you see where you fit in his plan. Once you see him, you see that he's the answer for you.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? So once you catch that by revelation, it tells you exactly who he is, and it tells you who you are and where you fit in his plan of redemption. It shows you your identification in him.
Right.
Now you can look at it in a physical form all you want and never catch that. But once it's revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, then you know your identification and you know who you are and you know exactly where you fit in him. And as I said, he will always reveal to you what you need. When you need to see your name on the book, you'll find it in him.
Right.
You're not going to find it somewhere else. You'll find it in him, and he'll always reveal what you need. And what it does is it gives you, once you see this revelation, as I said, it translates into you something of what you need. It translates into you, it gives to you The ability to be overcomers. Overcoming power. Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against that kind of understanding. Once you see Jesus Christ for your day, then he's your Savior. He's your need, everything you need. Then Satan can't do anything with it. So what happens? That means that something now is taking place in you that Satan can't deal with anymore. That Satan can't take away from you. And so, he gives you overcoming power and power to overcome the gates of hell. So when that happens, what are you going to overcome with? Are you going to overcome with book smart or with this or with that or social media or the political stance or whatever? No, what you're going to overcome with is by what you see. By what's revealed to you. I mean, God has revealed that to you so that you know who you are. And that's the thing that when you go through life, you can whip the devil with it. But that's what you have to connect to, and that's what you got to go with. If you want to go with a weapon to fight against the enemy, you got to go with the thing that's revealed to you by God, not through flesh and blood. Because if you use something that's given by flesh and blood, you're going to fail the battle. See, because it come by revelation, and the revelation is the thing. That's why Brother Brim said we need to pray for revelation. Because once you have that, and that's what you're packing in your arsenal, then Satan can't touch you. He becomes powerless before you, as the prophet said, right? Amen. And so that's what we need to focus upon in our lives. It's not all anything else. And I know we live in this world, but I'm telling you, God wants us to rise up from all this stuff, become the eagles that we are, and rise up and begin to soar in the revelation, because that's where we're going to find our pathway through life of victory and our pathway out of here at the end of these days. Amen. Comes through that. And so, that's what you're going to overcome with. And I want to ask you a question. The scripture said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many gates of hell is there? Anybody know? Somebody want to make a guess? How about 10? Let's say there's 10. You know what they are? Can somebody name them? Touch, taste, see, smell, hear, flesh. Imagination, conscience, memory, reason, and affection, spirit. There's your 10 gates. Those are the things that Satan wants to touch. And by that, if he can manipulate those senses of your flesh and your spirit, he can lock you up. Right? But a revelation from Almighty God will lift you up into a place and give you power that your imagination can no longer trick you. Your conscience, your memory of what you've done in your past can no longer hold you. Your reasoning can't be dealt with anymore like it did with Eve. Yeah. Your affections that were wrong in the past, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
And what you feel in your flesh, of touch, taste, see, smell here, all of those things become powerless as long as we're moving in the revelation that God has given us.
Right.
Amen. And so that's just me. Right? There might be all kinds of other gates. I don't know. But that makes sense to me. Because from what we understand through the teaching, through the Bible, and through what the Bible has become so clear to us through the message, is that's the things that Satan works through. And if he can't touch those, he can't touch you. Because remember, in your soul, you're either faith or doubt. In your soul, you're either a son or daughter of God or you're not. And if you are a son and daughter of God, there's nothing can take that away either. That can't be changed. And so the idea is that this outward man, the flesh man, the spirit man, becomes subject to the word of God, into agreement that what's in your soul, what's birthed in your soul. So, you know, we look into the life of Job. And, you know, I thought it's funny. I look at this, always look at this, and I always, when I type it, I put J-O-B-E, Job, because to me, J-O-B is job. But I got to thinking, well, maybe our job is our Job. You know, maybe that is our trial, you know. Our job is our trial, you know. Maybe that's where it come from. They call it job, but it really actually was Job. I don't know, but anyway, Job had all these troubles. He's going through all these trials. And we know the story. He was being tested and so forth. God had confidence in him. But Job, as perfect as he was, because the scripture said he was perfect, as he knew that he didn't have any answer. As Brother Branham illustrated, you can see that a tree, a plant, you know, would go down and come back up again, have, you know, life, death, burial, resurrection. But where does a man go? What happens to a man? He comes to nothing. He's, you know, his children are blessed and they don't, you know, but where's he at? You know, and so he knew that there was something wrong. And I was telling someone the other day, I said, that's what happens when God begins to deal with a man. He begins to realize there's something wrong. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with humanity. There's something wrong. There's got to be an answer somewhere to fix this this trouble I'm in, and this, you know, this thing that's speaking to me. And so Job knew, and through all that book of Job, everything back and forth, and his miserable comforters and all that, he needed something, right? What he needed was what we're talking about today. What he needed was a glimpse, a revelation, to look into the revelation of God, of the Word of God, and once doing that would find himself. And so you realize it went on and on, back and forth, and Job, you know, justifying himself, so to, as the scripture talked about. And finally, when it was all got to the end, God spoke to Job. And what did God do? He asked Job questions. Remember I said Jesus, most of the time he asked questions. Jesus is not necessarily, he's not going to come and say, sister, you are a daughter of God. He's not going to say it through flesh and blood. It has to come by revelation. And so God speaking to Job, he didn't come down and say, Job, you're one of mine. Job, but he asked Job questions. Job, where were you before the foundation of the world? Job, can you do these things? Can you drive the rivers? And I don't remember what they all, I'm just what comes to my mind, but can you draw out Leviathan? Can you make the sun go down at noontime? Can you do all these things? And because God was basically saying, Job, I'm the only one that can do this. Right. I'm the one that's God. And you're not, though you're perfect, and even though I've said you're perfect, you're not God. You can't do these things, and you don't, you know. And so God basically was asking him questions.
Yep.
And said, where were you before the foundation of the world? And when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And that sons of God being daughters too.
Yeah.
And so, and what happened, you realize, is that when Job caught a revelation. Job, you know, it doesn't say it like this, but you realize that Job realized that he was one of those sons of God that shouted for joy.
Right.
And so, before the world was. So Job caught a revelation, and once that happened, then that fixed the problem Job was in. I mean, he was in a struggle. Once he realized that, as Brother Branham illustrated, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Mm-hmm. Right? And though the skin worms just eat my flesh, yet in my flesh I will see him. I'll stand there before him face to face. So now he had an understanding of what happened to man. Because everything else had a death, burial, resurrection. And now he realized so does man. Man has a death, burial, resurrection. So Job caught a revelation. And it made all the difference in the world in his life. And you realize that once that happened, then everything changed in his life. And God restored all those things back. And so Job saw himself, you know, God speaking to him and interacting with him through the word. And I believe Job saw himself in the plan of God. And then once he realized where he fit in the plan of God, everything's fine. And that's the really way it is with us. Once we could just see where we fit in God's plan, just then, you know, then everything's fine. You go through a trial, and once you can just hear God speak and let him address to you and show you where this fits in his plan and his word, then he takes the burden plumb away from you.
Right.
Even though you might still be going through the trial.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, where were you when these things happened? And you know, that's why we rejoice right now. Because we were there rejoicing. When we saw the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation, and we rejoice there, and we rejoice here. Because we have a theophany there, right? And we've said, when you get in tune down here, acting out what was there. Mm-hmm. We understand that. So this is why we rejoice now when we see ourselves in the Word. So Brother Branham often, he talked about the Word of God being a mirror. The mirror of God's Word, to look into the mirror of God's Word. And so you don't use a mirror to look at somebody else. I brought one here so I can illustrate this because I want you to understand how ridiculous this is. Brother Daniel will come up here and stand up here. So we're going to inspect Brother Daniel. And we're going to see if he's got any blemishes. We're going to see if there's anything wrong with him. Let's see. You see how ridiculous that is for me to inspect him doing this when all I have to do is just do this. Mm-hmm. See? The Word, the mirror of God's Word, is not for me to look at somebody else so much.
That's right.
But it's to look at myself. And it just so happens that this one has the magnifying side. And if you try to, the Word can magnify it. He can look right down in there into your life. And when I start trying to look at somebody else with a magnifier, it's all blurred. Mm-hmm. It works really good to look at myself.
That's right.
And as a matter of fact, if you look at it, the normal is like, wow, not too bad. Then when you turn around, you go, whoa, wait a minute, what's that? Because he can magnify and show you where things are wrong, right? And so you can be deceived, brother. So you see, it's ridiculous for us to think that our life is to be going about just trying to inspect everyone else with the Word of God, when really God wants us to look into the mirror of his Word so we can examine ourselves and so that we can have this exchange with him in his Word, because it's me. It's for me. Because no matter what I say and do about these folks here or any of you, it makes no difference to them, because no matter what I say to them, that doesn't give them that revelation. That revelation has to come from God. So it's a personal walk from God that speaks to each heart.
Right.
And so that's why the mirror of God's Word is for you to use for your own walk with God, that you can find God, that he can be revealed to you, and you can find yourself and all the things we've been talking about here. So that's what the Word of God is. And so Brother Ben said the mirror of God's Word quite often. Now we read in the scriptures there that Moses was commanded to make a laver. If you remember, you had the outer court. When you come into the outer court, was like I said, is like outside the church building here. And the first thing you come to is a brazen altar where they sacrifice. And after that, you come to the brass laver. And then after that, you come to the veil that brings you into the holy place, which would bring you into the church ages. Remember that. So this laver, everything outside of the holy place and the holiest of all, it was made of brass, covered with brass, or made with brass, because brass is judgment.
Right.
And so it's a brazen altar. But this laver was made of brass also. And you know, as the whole thing's laid out in such a way that when we come through the law that tells us we're sinners and we have to have a sacrifice for our sins. So that's why you come past the brazen altar first. But once you pass that brazen altar, before you can come into the holy place where everything is now gold or wood covered with gold, humanity covered with deity, before you can come into that, you have to pass by that laver. And as we've seen in the scriptures there, that the priest, as they were coming and going and doing these things, and how many knows we're a priesthood, right? We're the holy gold priesthood. That as we come and go, before they could come into the holy place, they had to stop there at that laver and wash. Mm-hmm. And so when they would sacrifice these animals and get all the blood, then they could wash there at the laver, and wash the blood off and so forth. And they were initially washed with everything, but then After they were completely washed, then day in and day out, they had to wash their hands and feet.
Right.
All the time, every day. And the scripture said, that they die not. And so the whole concept here is that we are washed with the word. We are cleansed all over, clean every bit. But then as a daily process, we have to wash our hands and our feet. Why? Because of what we do and where we go, we get the world and in our everything going on, we have to wash. And so you see in the scriptures where Brother Ram's talking about there that there it was a sea of glass, clear as crystal. He said that's the laver. And so, but it was judgment because there was no blood in it, because it was clear as crystal. So you realize that if you come up to the laver and it's clear water, it means there's not been a sacrifice. So it's clear as crystal, so it's judgment. But if you come up there and there's blood there, that means there's a sacrifice. And so you could look in that laver and you could see your reflection. You could look into the word, which is a bleeding word. Bloody. And that word without the blood is a judge, will destroy. But with the blood, it'll speak to you. It's full of mercy. It's full of everything that you need. And you can look into that and see your reflection in that word. Brother Ram also talked about how that you could stand and you could look through that laver and you could see if the veil was open there. You could see a reflection of the candle lights, candlestick lights. You could see those reflecting out into that laver. And so what he's telling you is that you could look into the word and you could see in the word that God had seven candlesticks. In other words, when I see that, I'm looking and I can see that it is in the word that there was going to be seven church ages and seven messengers. I can see it in scriptures because it's reflecting in scriptures. Because there's blood there to let me see that. But if a person walks up there having not come through the blood, there it's just clear as crystal. They can't see the word. They can't see what's going on. And they can't see the reflection of themselves in the word like as it's clear as crystal. But once they've had their sacrifice and that now that blood is there, then that word becomes a bleeding word, a laver full of blood that we wash in every day, and then we can have a reflection of ourselves in every day, and it allows us to go on into the holy place of God and not die. Right?
That's right.
So it's the mirror of God's word, looking into the word to see ourselves, looking into the word to see him. In other words, looking into that revelation revealed to us from Almighty God, right out of his word, by the Spirit of God, that we can understand what that word is, the present word in our lives, what it is. And so that's why Brother Brand was talked about that so often, about this laver. And so you realize that, I think he mentioned this, that you know, is made of brass, but he said the looking glasses of women. Because back then they take brass and they would shine it. Mm-hmm. That became their mirrors. And you know, when Moses was going to make the tabernacle, he told the people, bring all this stuff in and bring all this in there. And so you realize that even the looking glass, what's made to look at, and that's what went into, part of what went in to make this laver, because it's going to be where you look to examine yourselves. Mm-hmm. Right? And so it's a fabulous how the word of God just unfolds these things. So the same place that you go to wash daily, you get a little bit of the world on your, or whatever it is, you know, whatever's going on, the reason you need to be washed, and you come there daily, and what it's showing you that even though, you know, there's an initial washing the priesthood had to begin with, but then after that, they didn't have to wash everything, they just had to wash their hands and their feet, will show us that once we're cleansed, then God has a provision for us to wash ourselves. When we get in touch with the world, we get something on our hands or we get something on our feet where we walk, that he has provisions there that daily we can wash ourselves from the filth of the world on our hands or on our feet and allow us to go ahead and come on into his presence every day that we die not.
Right, man.
Because he's got that for us. See? So that it's not like, oh, my whole life I'm lost. No, you're not lost. You've settled it, but you have to go daily to the Word to be washed. To make sure that you get this world off of you every day so you can go right back into the service of the Lord, into the holy place, and so forth.
That's right.
So, the same place that you go to wash is the same place that you go to find your reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it's all the Word.
Right.
Because the Scripture said you're washed with the water by the Word.
Right.
You've got to go to that laver before you can come into that holy place.
Yeah.
Amen. So it is the Word that washes us daily. But what happens if you don't come to the Word every day? What happens if you don't read your Bible, and you don't pray, and you don't meditate, and you don't put God first in your life every day? What happens?
Mm-hmm.
You get the world on you,
right,
and it begins to stink. And you can't come into the presence of God with that on you, and you know you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? You come to the Word every day to let it cleanse you.
Mm-hmm.
And once that Word has sufficiently cleansed you, you know when you're clean. You know now I can enter into fellowship with God and into the presence of God because I'm clean.
Yeah.
See? So, it is the laver, looking glass of God's Word. So, Brother Ram talked all the time about the Word, the laver, the look at, you know, God's the mirror of God's Word, and he would say, you look in there to see if you tally up, if your experience matches God's Word. You know, because in that water, in that laver, that Word, bloody Word, it's brass of judgment, but it's to be a judge, it'll wash you, purge you, cleanse you, and it's all there in the Word. Brother Bram tells us, somebody said to him about purgatory. They said, someone asked me the other day and said, why, Brother Bram, don't you believe in purgatory? I said, sure, I believe in purgatory. Said, well, fine. Said, that's good. Said, you know, and I said, but I don't believe that after you die, some priest to pray you out of it or some preacher. I said, I don't believe in purgatory. I believe in purgatory, sure. Purging your soul. But we do that now. When you do something wrong, let's get down and have a purgatory. Say, God, cleanse me, take the thing out of me, and purge me, and wash me, and make me new. And I believe in purging my soul. Yes, sir, I do that daily. It's Brother Graham saying that. I do that daily. I'm in purgatory daily, then, see? So just purging my soul every day before God. And so how do you do that? You know, you come to the Word of God, you come to prayer, you come to this laver, and you let it wash you, and you come there, and you let the sacrifice of God's sacrifice, that bloody Word, cleanse you through prayer and through being sincere before God and asking Him to take things away from you that should not be there. So... So, Brother Ram always talked about that, how that you look into that Word to see if you tally up. But I want to kind of, and this may seem like I'm using a play on words, but I'm not. I'm trying to get something to you. The laver, it's not just the judge, even though it is a judge, to judge you and to a place you can go to be purged. But it's not just to see if the Word is in you, but it's to see if you're in the Word. Didn't Jesus say, in that day you'll know that I'm in you and you're in me? So, for you to be able to look into the Word, Brother Bram talked about, we'll talk about the little boy waving in the mirror. You look into that Word, and you see that word wave at you, and you know that in your life you should be waving too to match what's in the word. Right? But now let's move it to the other way around. That God wants us to come to the place where we can wave and we can look to the word and see this, it's waving back at us.
Yeah.
Right? Not just that, oh, it's the word and I've got to tally up with that, mm-hmm. but come to the place where we can see that it's in us and we can look to the scriptures and see, yeah, the word's waving right back at me at the waving I'm doing. And so, and now once you find out not just that the word is in you, but you're in the word, then heaven and earth will pass away, but my word won't pass away.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to just see the word in you so much, even though it doesn't. But once you see yourself, when you look in there and you see that I'm in there, that's me in there. That's why Brother Evans said it that way. He said that little boy that had never seen a mirror went to visit somebody in the family, and he walked by the mirror, and he saw a little boy in there. Man thought it was someone in another room or something like that. And he looks in there, you know, and back and forth, and he raises his hand, the boy raises his hand and all that. And finally, at some point, the little boy realized, hey, that's me. That's me, Mama. That's me that's in there. So that's the thing that he come to realize. Hey, that's me. And so God wants us to come not just to the place where we can look in the word and say, yeah, you know, that should be in me, and yeah, I see that in me so much, but to where when we realize and there's a life in me that when I'm living and I can look and I see that it's in the word.
Right.
And so then you know you've got something in you that will never pass away. So that's why when I said, when once you see that revelation of Christ, you really see a revelation of yourself, because it's all one and the same. Because Brother Branham said, the believer is the words in the book.
Yeah.
That's all what it is. We are the words. Why? When you read the Bible, the words in the book, what are you reading? You read about all kinds of people,
mm-hmm.
because they're the words in the book.
But
these same words of the book are talking about you and I. We're the words in the book. And we're written epistles read, known and read of all men. So we're living out what's in the book. Right? Amen. So once you reach that point where you realize there's something inside you that will not pass away. It's not just that it's in the word and I'm supposed to have it, but now you can see it in you and in the life that you live. You can see in the word. Like that little boy, he could raise his hand and go, yep, there it is. What I'm doing here is right there. But it goes further than that. So when you wave into the mirror of God's word and you go look and you can see it's waving back at you. Like the little boy. So, can you wave worldly living and see it waving back at you in the word? You can't. You see what I mean?
Right.
You got to go to the laver and you got to look in there, and do you see through that blood? The life that you're living, can you see it reflecting back at you? And you can't if the blood is there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because if you're cleansed by the blood, then you're not going to be, it's a different life. You're not trying to live a wicked life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you want to be able, and you can't live a worldly life, chasing after this, chasing after that, having the love of the world. You can't wave that and look into the scriptures and see that coming back at you and say, hey, man, my life agrees with the word. But if you're a believer, if you wave the life of the word, you can see it. It'll come back at you.
Yeah.
Right? So you understand. The colored woman there in Memphis. Remember the story, the colored woman, she had her son had gotten a venereal disease. That woman went to the Bible And she read in the Bible about the Shunammite woman that had a child, and her husband, she was a widow. This colored woman was looking into the Word. She was looking into the laver. And she said, oh, there's a lady there. And I, just to illustrate it, I heard this illustrated recently, just to illustrate, you know, she carries on a conversation, as it were, to this woman. I said, oh, you know. And she said, so, you know, you're a widow? She said, yes. I had a husband, and we had a child, and he died. And she said, so did I. And so you realize from the testimony that she gave, and what Brother Ram tells us, that she realized that she was like that widow woman in the Bible. Right. Because she told Brother Ram she was. Mm-hmm. So she had looked into the Word, and she saw her identification there, and something in this woman told her, that woman, that's me. Right? I am the same thing that woman was. Because I had a husband, and I asked for a son, and God gave me a son, and now my husband is passed, and I'm this widow woman. And so something was revealed to her out of that she was like that widow woman in the Bible. More than just, well, and so she believed that enough. It was revealed to her enough that she had prayed all night long, and she said to God, I'm your widow woman, but where's your Elijah? That's what she said. So my point is, she's seeing herself. She sees that woman in the scriptures waving at her, and she's waving back. And she said, that's me. I'm in the Word.
Yeah.
Right? I'm in the Word. And I can see that this is me. And I'm in a situation here. But when I see my image in the Word, because it was revealed to her when I see my image in the Word, and I see that she had the same situation, she had an Elijah to come to her. Where's your Elijah for me? There's an Elijah for me, because I see my reflection in there, and so I'm looking for Elijah. And then, you know, she fell asleep, and she had the dream and saw Brother Branham coming. And God took that prophet out of the sky, out of that airplane, and brought it down with a storm, and had him come right down there, walk right down there, right past her. And when he walks up, she said, good morning, parson, preacher. Good morning, preacher. Yeah. And so we know the story, the rest of it. But what I want to show you is that she had saw herself in scriptures, and because she could see where she fit in scriptures, she saw the rest of the story and knew what to expect in her own life. She knew to expect that God was going to send her Elijah, because he did it when she saw herself in the mirror of God's Word. So, just to say all this, to tell you that the relationship you can have with God is with his Word. And there's a reciprocation back and forth between you, that you can see that he's in you and you're in him. And this is your daily walk. This is how you know him, out of his living Word. And so, once you see yourself in the scriptures, then you know what to expect for the rest of your life, because you can see what right there in the Word. And so, we go to the laver, we go to the Word of God, the bleeding Word, to clean ourselves up, to see God, to see ourselves, to see where we fit in God's plan, and what to expect in our life going forward. It's all right there in that laver. But once you pass through that, you can walk right into that presence of God. Amen. Into a different light, into a different realm, and walk with the peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen. Do you believe it?
Amen.
So we get done early today. Looking into the mirror of God's Word. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. We pray for my voice to be totally, completely restored, because it's not yet. I don't know why it affects me that way. It has all my life. get something, and it'll stay with me for a while, and eventually it cleans up.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this time of fellowship around your word. And Lord, so we want to thank you because your people were attentive to pay attention and listen to what was spoken this morning. We ask God that you would just impart these things into their life. May they catch an understanding, Lord, of what the importance is of having a relationship with your word each day. And go to your laver and go to that bleeding word and wash ourselves daily and to find ourselves and be able to see our reflection. Lord, let that be the thing that is most important to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and just worship for a little bit. If anybody has need of prayer, we certainly want you to come up and we'll pray for you.